15. Juliet had never attended a town hall before. Like sows giving birth, she knew such things took place, but had never felt the urge to witness the spectacle. Her first time would be while as mayor, and she hoped it would be her last. She joined Judge Picken and Sheriff Billings on the raised platform while residents spilled from the hallway and found their seats. The platform they'd put her on reminded her of the stage in the bazaar, and Juliet remembered her father comparing these meetings to plays. She never took him to mean that as a compliment.
"I don't know any of my lines," she whispered cryptically to Peter Billings.
The two of them sat close enough that their shoulders touched.
"You'll do fine," Peter said.
He smiled at a young woman in the front row who wiggled her fingers back at him, and Juliet saw that the young sheriff had met someone. Life was continuing apace. She tried to relax. She studied the crowd. A lot of unfamiliar faces out there. A few she recognized. Three doors led in from the hallway. Two of the doors opened on aisles that sliced through the rows of ancient benches. The third aisle was pressed against the wall. They divided the room into thirds, much as less well-defined boundaries partitioned the silo. Juliet didn't have to be told these things. The people making their way inside made it obvious. The up-top benches in the center of the room were already packed, and more people stood behind the benches at the back of the hall, people she recognized from IT and from the cafeteria. The mids benches, off to one side, were half full. Juliet noticed most of these residents sat close to the aisle, as near to the center as possible. Farmers in green, hydroponic plumbers, people with dreams. The other side of the room was nearly bare. This was for the down deep. An elderly couple sat together in the front row of this section, holding hands. Juliet recognized the man, a bootmaker. They had come a long way. Juliet kept waiting for more residents of the deep to show, but it was too much of a hike. And now she recalled how distant these meetings seemed while working in the depths of the silo. Often she and her friends only heard what was being discussed and what rules were being passed after it had already happened. Not only was it a far climb, but most of them were too busy surviving the day-to-day to trudge anywhere for a discussion on tomorrow's. When the flow of residents became a trickle, Judge Picken rose to begin the meeting. Juliet prepared to be bored half to death by the proceedings. A quick talk, an introduction, and then they would listen to what ailed the people. Promise to make it better. Get right back to doing the same things. What she needed to do was get back to work. There was so much that needed accomplishing up at the airlock and down in the suit lab. The last thing she wanted to do was listen to minor grievances, a call for a revote, or anyone bitching about her digging. She suspected what was serious to others would feel minor to her. There was something about being sent to one's death and surviving a baptism of fire upon one's return that pushed most squabblings into the deepest recesses of one's mind. Picken banged his gavel and called the meeting to order. He welcomed everyone and ran down the prepared docket. Juliet squirmed on her bench. She gazed out into the crowd and saw that the vast majority were gazing right back at her rather than watching the judge. She only caught the end of Picken's last sentence because of her name.
"Hear from your mayor, Juliet Nichols."
He turned and waved her up to the podium. Peter patted her on the knee for encouragement. As she walked to the podium, the metal decking creaked beneath her boots where it wasn't screwed down tight. That was the only sound. And then someone in the audience coughed, and there was a rustling among the benches as bodies lurched back into motion. Juliet gripped the podium and marveled at the mix of colors facing her, the blues and whites and reds and browns and greens. Scowls above them, she saw. Angry people from all walks of life. She cleared her throat and realized how unprepared she was. She had hoped to say a few words, to thank the people for their concerns, to assure them that she was working tirelessly to forge a new and better life for them. Just give her a chance, she wanted to say.
"Thank you,"
she began, and Judge Picken tugged on her arm and pointed to the microphone attached to the podium. Someone in the back shouted that they couldn't hear. Juliet swiveled the microphone closer and saw that the faces in the crowd were the same as those along the stairwell. They were wary of her. Awe, or something like it, had eroded into suspicion.
"I'm here today to listen to your questions, your concerns," she said,
the loudness of her voice startling her.
"Before I do, I'd like to say a few things about what we hope to accomplish this year."
"Did you let poison in here?"
someone yelled from the back.
"Excuse me?"
Juliet asked. She cleared her throat.
A lady stood up, a baby in her arms.
My child's had a fever ever since you returned.
Are the other silos real? Someone shouted. What was it like out there?
A man bolted up from the mids benches, his face ruddy with rage.
What are you doing down there that's causing so much noise?
A dozen others stood and began shouting as well. Their questions and complaints forged a single noise, an engine of anger. The packed center section spilled outward into the aisles as people needed room to point and wave for attention. Juliet saw her father, standing in the very back, noticeable for his placid demeanor, his worried frown.
One at a time,
Juliet said. She held her palms out. The crowd lurched forward, and then a shot rang out. Juliet flinched. There was another loud bang right beside her, and the gavel was no longer limp in Judge Pickens' hand. The wooden disc on the podium leapt and spun as he pounded it back into place over and over. Deputy Hoyle lurched out of a trance by the door and swam through the crowds in the aisle, urging everyone back into their seats and to hold their tongues. Peter Billings was up from the bench, yelling for everyone to be calm as well. Eventually, a tense silence fell over the crowd. But something was worrying in these people. It was like a motor not yet running, but one that wanted to, an electrical buzz just beneath the surface, humming and holding back. Juliet chose her words carefully.
I can't tell you what it's like out there.
Can't or won't? Someone asked.
This person was silenced by a glare from Deputy Hoyle, who ranged the aisle. Juliet took a deep breath.
I can't tell you because we don't know.
She raised her hands to hold the crowd still a moment. Everything we've been told about the world beyond our walls has been a lie, a fabrication.
How do we know you're not the one lying?
She sought the voice among the crowd. Because I'm the one admitting that we don't know a damned thing. I'm the one who came here today to tell you that we should go out and see for ourselves, with fresh eyes, with real curiosity. I'm proposing that we do what has never been done, and that's to go and take a sample, to bring back a taste of the air out there and see what's wrong with the world. Outbursts from the back drowned out the rest of her sentence. People were up out of their seats again, even as others reached to restrain them. Some were curious now. Some were even more outraged. The gavel barked, and Hoyle loosed his baton and waved it at the front row. But the crowd was beyond calming. Peter stepped forward, a hand on the butt of his gun. Juliet backed away from the podium. There was a squeal from the speakers as Judge Picken knocked the microphone with his arm. The wooden puck was lost, leaving him to bang on the podium itself, which Juliet saw was marked with half-moon frowns and smiles from past attempts at restoring calm. Deputy Hoyle had to back up against the stage as the crowd lurched forward, many of them with questions still, most with unbridled fury. Spittle foamed on quivering lips. Juliet heard more accusations, saw the lady with her baby who blamed Juliet for some sickness. Marcia ran to the back of the stage and threw open a metal door painted to look like real wood, and Peter waved Juliet inside, back to the judge's chambers. She didn't want to go. She wanted to calm these people down, to tell them she meant well, that she could fix this if they would just let her try. But she was being dragged back, past a cloakroom of dark robes that hung like shadows, steered down a hall where pictures of past judges hung askew, to an old metal desk painted to resemble the door. The shouts were sealed off behind them, the door banging with fists for a moment, Peter cursing. Juliet collapsed into an old leather chair repaired with tape and held her face in her hands. Their anger was her anger. She could feel herself directing it toward Peter and Lucas, who had made her mayor. She could feel herself directing it toward Lucas for begging her to leave the digging and come up top, for making her come to this meeting, as if this rabble could be appeased. A burst of noise filtered down the hall as the door opened for a moment. Juliet expected Judge Picken to join them. She was surprised to see her father instead.
Dad.
She rose from the old chair and crossed the room to greet him. Her father wrapped his arms around her, and Juliet found that place in the center of his chest where she could remember finding comfort as a child.
I heard you might be here, her father whispered.
Juliet didn't say anything. As old as she felt, the years melted away to have him there, to have his arms around her.
I also heard what you're planning, and I don't want you to go.
Juliet stepped back to study her father. Peter excused himself. The noise from outside wasn't as loud this time when the door cracked, and Juliet realized Judge Picken had allowed her father passage. was out there calming the crowd. Her dad had seen those people react to her, had heard what people had said. She fought back a sudden welling of tears. "They didn't give me a chance to explain," she started, swiping at her eyes. "Dad, there are other worlds out there like our own. It's crazy to sit here fighting amongst ourselves when there are other worlds."
"I'm not talking about the digging," her father said. "I heard what you're planning up top."
"You heard?"
She wiped her eyes again.
"Lucas," she muttered.
"It wasn't Lucas. That technician Nelson came by for a checkup. Asked me if I was going to be on standby in case anything went wrong. I had to pretend to know what he was talking about. I assume you were going to announce your plans out there just now?"
He glanced toward the cloakroom.
"We need to know what's out there," Juliet said. "Dad, they haven't been trying to make it better. We don't know the first thing."
"Then let the next cleaner see. Let them sample when they're sent out. Not you."
She shook her head.
"There won't be any more cleaning, Dad. Not while I'm mayor. I won't send anyone out there."
He placed a hand on her arm.
"And I won't let my daughter go."
She pulled away from him.
"I'm sorry," she said. "I have to. I'm taking every precaution, I promise."
Her father's face hardened. He turned his hand over and gazed at his palm.
"We could use your help," she said, hoping to bridge any new rift she feared she was creating. "Nelson's right. It would be nice to have a doctor on the team."
"I don't want any part in this," he said. "Look what happened to you the last time."
He glanced at her neck, where the suit's metal collar had left a hook of a scar.
"That was the fire," Juliet told him, adjusting her coveralls.
"And the next time it'll be something else."
They studied one another in that chamber where people were quietly judged, and Juliet felt a familiar temptation to run away from conflict. It was countered by a new desire to bury her face in her father's chest and sob in a way that women her age weren't allowed, that mechanics never could.
"I don't want to lose you again," she told her dad. "You're the only family I've got left. Please support me in this."
It was difficult to say, vulnerable and honest. A part of Lucas now lived inside of her. This was something he had imparted. Juliet waited for the reaction and saw her father's face relax. It may have been her imagination, but she thought he moved a step closer, let down his guard.
"I'll give you a checkup before and after," he said.
"Thank you. Oh, speaking of a checkup, there's something else I wanted to ask you about."
She worked the long sleeve of her coveralls up her forearm and studied the white marks along her wrist.
"Have you ever heard of scars going away with time? Lucas thought—"
She looked up at her father. "Do they ever go away?" Her father took a deep breath and held it a while. His gaze drifted over her shoulder and far away.
"No," he said. "Not scars. Not even with time.